get ready for an all-new Hardline segment. It's time to step into the snake pit. And now, with something completely over the top, the host and star of the Snake Pit, Snake.
Thank you, and thank you very much. Okay, so you never really know what's going to happen when you show up to work 8 hours before your shift, right?
You never know what could happen.
You just don't know who you're going to run into. It's just a different world up here in the mornings. When you roll into work a long time before you're supposed to actually go on the air, and you see people that you haven't seen in a long time. And as we have our meeting, our all staff meeting, and it's over with.
Dude, that was amazing.
You killed it, man. You were way into it.
Your spirit was strong.
Your passion carried us over the top. It made the meeting feel so much shorter.
It's just great we got so many issues worked out.
Totally. So after that ended, I had about an hour and a half to kill or so before I did the birdhouse with the invasion. And so I go into one of the little production rooms, and I'm in there kind of culling things together. Yeah, tiny production room. And I see some people. They walk in. Our old friend Hawkeye walked in and was doing his bit. It's great to see a radio Hall of Famer at work like that.
Incredible.
And then the door opened, and there's a face that I see about twice a year now. Even though we work in the exact same building, on the exact same hall. And ladies and gentlemen, the former producer of the Bob and Dan Show, Tom Gribble.
Yes!
Yeah. Corby, Bob, Davey, DJ, thank you for having me on the show.
Hi, Tom.
Now, Tom.
Hey.
Thanks for taking a moment out of your toilet break to join us.
Well, you have to understand, Tom is now a high level producer. Matter of fact, he produces the Hawkeye and Mishrod morning show over there.
A highly decorated program.
It is, and it's so decorated that he can't afford a microphone to plug into his computer.
Oh, that's right. Tom.
Yeah. Management has taken my mics away from me. They don't want me on microphones over there.
No.
we heard from DJ that you are a very frugal man, so if the company's not going to buy a microphone for you, you're not going to buy a microphone.
That's true. Yes. He is exactly right.
Should we corroborate the DJ story?
We should.
Okay.
Well, we should at least find out what sort of roommate DJ was.
Did you, in fact, room with DJ for an extended period of time?
Did, yes. For about, about a year and a half?
Yeah, thereabouts.
And were you guys, was it a...
What was your ugliest fight?
What was the point of living together? You guys share a two-bedroom apartment, or was it a one-bedroom?
Two bedrooms.
It was a two-bedroom.
And there was like a loft upstairs. So Tom had the upstairs, and I had the room downstairs.
Okay. And then you moved out, DJ.
Yep.
Is this because you were moving into your new place that you live now?
No, I just wanted to live somewhere else. I was ready to move on.
We're tired of Tom?
Not because of Tom. No, not a Tom issue.
Okay.
So that's DJ, not what Tom told us.
DJ told us that he left a couch in y'all's room or in y'all's place.
Are you familiar with the couch story, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And that he said, hey, if you give me $10 for the couch, we're all square. To which you said... Right.
Don't have the money. Don't have the money. Don't have the space.
$10. Because,
yeah. Well, I couldn't stay at that apartment, so I was trying to move, and I had no place to take the new couch. No place to store it while I was between places.
Oh.
So it was complicated.
Okay.
Yeah, so DJ says instead of giving it to you for $0, he just took it out to the dumpster.
Yes.
By himself.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
It was from the second floor, too. I literally tipped it over the railing of the big stairwell down onto the parking lot.
It's so
very fitting for that apartment complex. Very fitting.
Yes.
So Tom walks into the production room that I'm in this morning, and he goes, hey, we talk a little tennis for a second. And then he says to me, you know, I did Scoops Callahan with John McEnroe. And I'm like,
he did?
Wait, what? You did 1920s reporter guy, our old friend Scoops Callahan, with John McEnroe, maybe the most surly of all the surly sportsmen over the last 4 or 5 decades. And so before we even set up Scoops, I would love to know the scenario that presented itself for you to talk to John McEnroe.
Yeah, it was the Dallas Open's opening weekend. This is February 7th, and McEnroe was in town to play an exhibition match for that for the Dallas Open with a few other players, John Isner, Sam Querrey, and then future Hall of Famer Andy Roddick.
Yes. So they held a presser with all of them up there?
They did. They held a press conference with all of them that afternoon before they played.
Okay, now let's set up Scoops Callahan, Bob. And
yes,
I don't know if you would like to do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm not even positive the actual day one origin story. I'm trying to remember how it all began, but I do know it began with Wayne Gretzky, and it was basically having Tom channel a 100-year old reporter, basically somebody from the 1920s who would use the lingo from post-World War One, pre-World War Two, like we see in the movies. If somebody is talking to an old boxer in the 1920s, how would he speak? And that's what we wanted Tom to talk to.
The guy with the fedora with the little press card and in his hat.
Maybe a nice trench coat.
Was this something that spawned off, Davey, when you used to do the Walter Winchell ticket tickers?
I don't know if it's just coincidence because, yeah, every once in a while when I was doing tickers, Rhines would yell out Walter Winchell, and so then I would have to do the ticker in the Walter Winchell voice, which is essentially the same thing as,
it's just
as
the high pitch voice.
Yeah, the 1920s reporter guy. Yeah.
How did it all happen, Tom, in your view?
Yeah, the origin of this bit goes back to 1999 when I was working at Kiss FM with Kid Crack.
Oh, okay, there you go.
And the Rangers were playing the Yankees in the playoffs that year, and we were trying to come up with bits. And this idea came out of that meeting of doing an old-timey reporter talking to players. We laughed about it, but then we thought, well, I don't know that it's really going to play well with this audience, mostly female audience. So the idea just kind of dropped there. And then fast forward 5 years, and I'm with Bad Radio, and we were given an assignment, hey, let's come up with some more bits. We need to freshen things up a little bit.
We got nothing. Thought, we need something.
We need something. And this idea popped back in my head. So that's when I laid out Scoops Callahan, doing it as a post-game press conference type of thing. And then I just looked at the schedules, and it came up that the Stars were hosting the Phoenix Coyote and their head coach, Wayne Gretzky.
Okay, so you got Gretzky. You got, I mean, the laundry list of human beings that you got.
The most famous, Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, I mean, but the high-level dudes in sports, it's unreal that you...
Phil Jackson in his final presser?
Yes, you got the balls to do this. And yes, this is the most famous one. This is Phil Mickelson and Tom. After Phil had just won the Colonial and Tom had just had a couple of margaritas.
Champ, was the key to winning today's tournament bringing out the old Billy Baru and sinking those putts like a Tommy gun on Valentine's Day?
Why are you yelling? You're a foot from me.
Scoops Callahan from the ticket here, Phil. Congratulations.
Thank you, Scoops. You know, it was a fun round, and to birdie the last hole to win by one was an awesome feeling. Scoops.
Thank you, Jim.
Just the additional scoops is just, I can't tell you how. Oh, I'm so mad that Phil Mickelson has turned into the heel that he is.
Well, I was going to say, I can never truly be mad at Phil Mickelson because of that interaction.
That's true. Davey mentioned Phil Jackson. This is the last human being to ever speak to Phil Jackson on a professional level after the Mavericks eliminated the Lakers in 2011.
Champ, being a Hall of Famer like the legendary Bonnie Mighty Mike Cedrin and having more rings than Douglas Fairbanks, even has Oscars, you have to ultimately take a lot of pride in knowing that you and your cage career were nothing but the bee's knees.
Amen. Thank you very much.
That is audio.
And then he walked off into the sunset.
That's how Phil Jackson's Hall of Fame coaching career and Mother's Day massacre all ended at the same moment.
Unbelievable. The last thing anyone ever said to Phil Jackson as a coach was by you.
So now Scoops lives on the Hawkeye and Mishrod show.
Oh, I was just going to say, though, if you go on YouTube, my friends who have never heard the Ticket reference it all the time, the No Laying Up guys are obsessed with Tom, as he knows. The YouTube records, the David Beckham one, the like I said, Peyton Manning. There are so many through the years that that Tom has brilliantly done, and I can't believe he's back at it again.
So we have the Popovich one too. Did he get contentious with you at all, or did
a little bit confused? Yeah, it was more like an NBA official came up to me afterwards. He was a little contentious, but Pop was just a little confused by it all.
All right, here's Pop.
That's what we need to do. You know, those guys have to have the ball as much as possible to score. And sure, we have to hope that other people step up and make shots, make plays. It didn't happen enough tonight, but it wasn't for lack of effort.
Anything else, Coach?
Champ, tell me about your fiery Francophile, the Parisian torpedo, Tony Parker. Can he continue to be your main butter and egg man and still croak the boys from Big D?
Am I being punked or something? Or, you know.
Next.
The little giggling from nervous media people.
God,
who don't
so
want
great.
Pop mad.
No, Pop especially. Okay, so I got really excited. You came in and you said, I got John McEnroe at the Dallas Open. This was 2 weeks ago, and I didn't want to listen to it until we aired it. Do you want to set this up?
Yeah, well, it's kind of what we talked about earlier. This is the press conference on February 7th before he's part of an exhibition at the Dallas Open with three other players, John Isner, Sam Querrey, and Andy Roddick.
All right, here we go.
Mr. McEnroe, champ, knowing your love for both the great game of tennis and for being a talented axe man, this reporter would like to know, which would you rather do? Go back 100 years and battle Big Bill Tilden on the green grass of Forest Hills? Or pick up your six string and jam with the father of Texas blues from right here in Dallas, Blind Lemon Jefferson?
Well done.
Yeah,
that's good energy. Could you repeat the question?
There's another one right
here. That's awesome.
But I would rather go with Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Thank you, champ.
Oh, he answered. All right, what were the looks?
That must be the greatest deflection ever to Scoops, to ask to repeat the question.
Yeah, that's illegal. Can't do that. Tell me more about Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Oh, he's the father of the Texas Blues, a man who plied his trade in Deep Ellum in the 1920s, known for a couple of major hits, covered by Bob Dylan and the Grateful Dead, See That My Grave Is Kept Clean.
Okay.
And the Beatles and Carl Perkins covered his song Matchbox Blues.
There you go.
All right.
I guarantee Jack White is obsessed with Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
There's no doubt the true music people know.
Okay, so how many reporters or how many media members were in there?
Probably about half a dozen.
Okay, and what were the looks that you got from Isner and Andy Roddick and Sam Querrey?
Luckily, Isner kind of saved it because everybody looked at John, and Isner is kind of the first one who smiled and laughed and said something like, "You got to love his energy."
Oh, that was Isner that said that.
Yes, was Isner, and Querrey kind of laughed. Yeah, I couldn't see what Roddick was doing.
Oh my God! All right, one more time,
Mr. McEnroe, champ, knowing your love for both the great game of tennis and for being a talented axe man, this reporter would like to know, which would you rather do? Go back 100 years and battle Big Bill Tilden on the green grass of Forest Hills? Or pick up your six string and jam with the father of Texas blues from right here in Dallas, Blind Lemon Jefferson?
Well done.
Yeah, that's good
energy. Could you repeat the question?
There's only one right here.
That's
awesome.
But I would rather go with Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Thank you, Champ.
Thank you, Champ.
Which experience was the most excruciating for you, Tom? Because I know this was never something that you totally enjoyed in the moment. It was always something right. You would enjoy after the moment, but the buildup was difficult, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it definitely was. Probably the two that tie was the buildup for Phil Jackson. When I realized I was going to ask one of the last questions, that was really nerve-wracking. And then I'm at AT&T Stadium, and the Cowboys are playing the Saints. And I know that the Saints just tried and failed a comeback. And Drew and I knew I was there to do this bit with Drew Brees. And I'm standing at the elevator to go down to the press conference, and I can see the Saints completely botched their attempt to try to get back into this game. And I realize, oh no, Brees is going to be pissed. He is going to be just angry as all get out. So I was not looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But he ended up taking it just fine.
All those bits, all the locker room bits, you would pray that whoever you knew that you were going to talk to post game, that team won, regardless of your rooting interest fan-wise.
Right, because like quarterbacks come to town like once every 8 years in the case of some of these guys. They never come to Dallas. So that one time, it's like, maybe they should just beat the Cowboys so he's in a good mood.
100% you would hope for that. Otherwise, it's just miserable in there.
Yeah, and of all the stupid locker room bits that we've done on the station, that one takes the most balls.
It does, because it's the loudest. And people turn around. You can do a goofy interview with someone.
Well, yeah,
can do one-on-one.
Yeah, it's one thing to do a one-on-one. It's another thing to do it in the group press conference in front of all your peers.
Yes, it's ballsy.
My peers. Yes, my peers.
Yes, your peers. Your peers indeed. All right, Tom. Nice work, my friend.
Hey, Tom. Did you hear the Eagles are coming to town?
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that.
Just making sure you knew.
Yep. You're going to do
that. Okay. I knew Tom would be interested.
Yeah, I know.
Big Eagles guy.
Once a year indeed.
Merry Christmas, Eagles.
All right, Tom, be good, brother. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Hardline.
All right, there he goes, the great Tom Gribble.
Hi, Gribble.
Scoops Callahan himself.